Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, friends and neighbors. Welcome to the Midnight Garden. I am your host, Mudso Sasquatch. And at this time, I always invite you to join me seated behind or beside or between two types of greenery that probably wouldn't normally go together. Why don't we say radishes and cucumbers. I'm pretty sure I've used cucumbers before. Cucumbers are so fun to say. It's one of those things that's very, very easily pops to your mind. But thank you for coming to the garden tonight. I made it here today with 36 seconds to spare. I guess I'm here. What happened was I dialed up the requisite phone numbers, and then I put the phone down, went in to get a drink, and I came back, and I picked up the phone, and I accidentally hung up the call, so I had to call again. It's one of those fun things that goes part and parcel with this little quasi-career. But anyway, we're all here. God, I smacked twice. Stop smacking. You've got to learn these things at fake radio school. But anyway, it's midnight. Another fine night here in the Midwest. It's supposed to rain. It hasn't rained yet. We've had a rather mild week, which followed a rather mild week, which is very nice for this time of year. But it looks like the heat returns with a vengeance here over the weekend, just in time for me to be attending an outdoor play with my friend Twilight Evening Star. And they're supposed to do this a couple of times over the past week and just have not been able to make connections. So now we are scheduled to go on Sunday, which is going to be about the hottest day in a month, according to forecasts. So we'll have a good time with that. And it's also, it's a children's play, Puss in Boots. But we do like to support it. It's an outdoor theater in the park. We like to support it, so that's what we're going to do, come hell or high water. Hopefully not high water, but it is going to be hot. We'll get through it. Thankfully, my work shift the next day isn't until the afternoon, so I won't have to deal with that. That's always how these things seem to go. We usually get nice evening events. Get home, and it takes you a little while to get settled in, get the energies calmed down, and the eyes closed, and back into sleep. And then it seems the alarm is ringing, and you're right off to work. Well, I don't have that to deal with, at least on this particular occasion. It won't be until don't have to be to work until 4 o'clock on Monday. It's 4 to close. Closing is really not, since I don't actually have to do it, closing is not a particular, something I particularly, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not something particularly very bad. A very colorful word that means very bad, but I can't think of one because I've gotten horribly old and decrepit and I can't think of words anymore. This is fresh in my mind because I just spent some time with my mother and my father. Was there yesterday, actually, and they are still going strong, 61, going on 62 years, and but have begun to reach that point where neither of them hears very well, and neither of them understands what the other one is saying very well. So they have a lot of, having to fall back on a lot of that 62 years of experience to make things work, and so far so good. But I look at them and I see a lot of myself, and suddenly not being able to remember what the word for something is, or a little bit of stuttering comes in, and I think, gosh, I am my parents. I'm just not quite as far along the road as they are yet. But it's not. I'm extremely, extremely lucky to still have both of my parents. I don't know many of my peers who do. So obviously very, very blessed to still have them around and doing well. Now, and that just took me completely away from what the train of thought, what I was going to be talking about, which is what happens on the show all the time anyway. I don't know why it should bother me. That's, I guess I still have this enduring fantasy that I'm going to come on here and be Edward R. Murrow or something. Just have all the things laid out exactly the way I want to say it. Or those guys, one of those guys like on the up on the stage, and they have the headphones on, and the people are there, and they have the big screens, and they're talking about the lecture that they're giving, and everybody's following along in the notebooks and laughing in the right places and cheering in the right places, and then he packs up and he goes on to the next place, and does the next lecture. That's kind of what. That's my fantasy self when it comes to these Midnight Garden broadcasts. That the message will come out in some sort of hyper-organized, hyper-expressive fashion, that nothing will be left to the imagination, and I will have perfectly expressed what I mean to say to all people. For all times, so forever. Of course, I wouldn't want to do, because if I do that, then I can't sell it anymore. But there was a time I had, I can't say thought about that. I don't know that thought that I might do motivational speaking really ever resided in my head for any amount of time. I probably thought about being a motivational speaker about the way I thought about being president of the United States when I was a kid. You know, just I picture myself. I look at the motivational speaker, and I picture myself in that slot, and that's about as far as it goes. But it's good to dream a little while, and then go back to doing the retail. Retail is getting interesting right now because many of my cohorts, many of my colleagues, if you will, are going back to school, and we're not going to have them around for a little while. So the other complicating part of that, we discussed this a bit last week, you know, yeah, it'd be good because my hours will go up, but my hours really can't go up very much, because if my hours go up too much, my benefits go down, and that's actually, the benefits are worth more than the hours are, which is kind of a screwy thing. I'm sure many of my listeners are saying now. I know what many of them say is, well, so we should just cut those benefits, and then people will haul themselves up by their bootstraps and get the good jobs that somebody keeps telling me are out there somewhere. In any case, you know, I worked for a long time anyway, probably not long enough to justify 6 years on this stuff, but it's how I live. It's what keeps me going, and as long as it's still there, as long as it's still available, I'm going to avail myself of it. And there we find the words avail and available are connected in some way, which is hardly surprising, but I had never really thought about it before. Avail and available have the same sort of roots, the same sort of place that they're coming at us from. Write that down in your lesson book. Avail and available. Think about it. What other things in your life are both avail and available? Make a list. List 100 of them and bring them to the next meeting. In any case, oh, I got a little pause there, but it wasn't me. It was Richard Pryor. Richard Pryor is running on my laptop as I do this. He will serenade me to sleep once I'm done with this. Got a little Richard Pryor, a little George Carlin, a little of the Ascended Masters. To share their wisdom with me as I move towards the next shift. I do work tomorrow. It's always less pleasant to do this show when I know I'm working the next day, because I don't have unlimited sleep. At some point, I have to get up. Now, I don't work till noon, so it's not a horrible thing. I probably, in all probability, would be up anyway. But it's just that idea in my head. I gotta get up, get dressed, and go to work. Not that it's horribly unpleasant, but once you get there, you always think of about 100 different places you'd rather be. It was a weird day at work today. Really, really strange. I mean, not just even at work. I was at home. I was at Mom and Dad's on Thursday, and got up Friday morning and drove back to the city start my shift at noon. I work noon to 7. And just one of those days that just felt wrong. Just felt wrong. Just, I can't say not wrong in a horrible way. You know, it wasn't a feeling of impending disaster. It wasn't a feeling like, I'd seen the ring or anything like that. It was just something is just not, something's not lining up today. And I just feel that you can just again, that somehow you have that ability to just, look, let's just do this day tomorrow. I'm quite sure the astrological signs or the energies or whatever it is that's working against each other right now, I'm sure something's retrograding or something's voiding or something is not throwing its light into the universe in a way. I found out a while back that I'm ruled by Uranus, and I think that may be at the root of most of my problems. But in any case, I try always to respect Uranus and know that is my is my heritage. I have a couple of friends who are astrologers, and I just always wanted to ask them, the charts, people made charts before they knew that Uranus and Neptune and Pluto were out there. Did that change anything? The charts different now than they would have been then? Is it a significant change, a big change, small change? People's charts, people's predictions more accurate now that they know about Uranus, Neptune, and Pluto? Or was there no significant changes? Someone done this work? Have they done it in a scholarly fashion? Anyway, I don't mean, again, I'm getting kind of into this like snippy thing. I certainly don't want to run down the way somebody makes a living. Well, I guess there are probably a few of the nastier ones that I might run down. I'm not going to go there. I'm going to turn back and return. I'm going to return from that path. I'm not going to go to it. Yes, there are probably some jobs people have that I would run down for on rural grounds. But most of the jobs people do, I know whatever you do for work is what you do for work, and I'm certainly not going to have anything to say about it. People look at the stars and they have that those charts they make, which are just fascinating to me. I love that. I love technology. I love technology, but I like that antediluvian technology, old but new technology, like Jules Verne. He was writing about the future from the 17th century, so his technology was very out there at the time. His spaceships and his submarines and whatnot were very out there for the time, but kind of weird and crude and primitive as you did from our time. So that's what's cool. I get that feel from astrology and those neat circular charts that they make. And I see no reason. I mean, the scientific community obviously holds astrology in quite a bit of up to ridicule. I personally don't see the reason for that. And the scientific community holds religion in general, maybe not quite so. I think you could take pot shots at astrology because most people will get behind that. And then the same group of sciencey people take pot shots at Catholicism. And people are like, oh, okay, well, we don't really like them either. And then you take a pot shot at the Baptists and say, whoa, wait a minute. Can't go there. Can't do that. Can't take pot shots at any sort of Americanized religion. Or maybe if we're not... I guess if you're not a Baptist and you're something else, you wouldn't mind if they went after the Baptists. One of the real fun things about Christianity is its fractionization. I drank a lot of Mountain Dew before the show tonight. Can you tell? This has really pushed me in kind of a. That's not something I can't say that. Mountain Dew is different for me. Mountain Dew, they've got lots of points for it at UDF right now. So I have a lot of Mountain Dew, a lot of Mountain Dew in the fridge. Now, when I've done this show before in a pizza place or something, and then there's usually plenty of Pepsi flowing, which is, you know, plenty enough caffeine, but it's not Mountain Dew. And the Mountain Dew rush is really quite something to behold when you're trying to sit still and do a radio show. So I'm going to take a deep breath and see if I can mentally shake off some of this caffeine. I don't know if I can really do that, although I did mentally shake off, well, it wasn't real alcohol, though, so I can't take credit for that. I had gone to Chief Iggy's restaurant, this has been some years ago, and there were a number of our friends there, and they shared a bottle of Pisco, which is a Peruvian spirit, a rather strong one. And they went around the table two or three times. I didn't have any. And then in the fullness of time, I went home. And as I was walking, I lived in walking distance, within walking distance of the restaurants. I used to eat there four or five times a week. But as I was walking home, I started to notice that I was having trouble with my footing and that I was feeling rather dizzy. And as I got home, I mean, I felt actually drunk, even from not having – I had not touched – the spirit physically, but from all the people gathered around me being shit-faced, it kind of made me feel like I was shit-faced. And, you know, psychosomatic or whatever, I think that probably is the best term to put on it. But I had my key out, and I was trying to get, I couldn't get the door open. I couldn't get the key into the door. I felt so incapacitated that I couldn't even do that. I stood up straight, and I took a deep breath. I said, okay, this is silly. I know I didn't drink anything. I know I'm not drunk. So just cut it out. And my head cleared to the extent that I was able to get the door open and get in and get my evening business done. So how does that apply to what? Oh, I was just gonna say if I could somehow cancel out the effects of the Mountain Dew. See, I actually did drink the Mountain Dew. That's the problem. And there are more flavors of Mountain Dew now. I wasn't 100% aware of that. I knew about the Code Red. My my daughter introduced me to that when I took her to a ball game. Oh, man, that's been some years ago. She was still in school. And somebody came around selling the Code Red. And supposedly it's a concoction that's computer developers, software developers, used to drink on their, you know, their long overnights as they tried to create the successive generations of the abominations that are Windows and Apple. And I wish they could have made, if they're gonna destroy their bodies with that Code Red, I wish they could have made something good. Okay, that's, I'm being terribly unfair now. It obviously it's better than Ground Zero, which is where they started. And I'm, again, going back to that looking back in the past thing. I liked the technology I had, you know, coming up when I was in my 20s and my 30s. I enjoyed that technology. I despise the technology we have now, mostly because it's not that technology. And the people who developed the new technology didn't have a choice. They had to develop something. First of all, for commercial purposes, they had to develop something new or nobody would buy it. People want their devices to do more. And I was like, I don't really, you know, I still want my phone to be a phone. If you could, you know, maybe add email to it. That's good. I mean, that's about, I use email. I have GPS on my phone now. I used to have a separate device for that. And there's a nifty thing on my phone for capturing the bus routes. You know, if I want to pick up a bus, and the bus company's website was never very good for that about trip planning. It would only give you the very most obvious ones, and they often were not the ones that were the best ones for you, the closest or whatever. And this that's how the hell my phone does. So there's obviously there is utility that's being built. But you know, I start up my phone and there's three ads waiting for me. I could live without that. I could live without all the ads I have in my email. Using the generic term rather than the specific term for the type of email that I use. Those are always full of crap that I didn't ask for. So that's the thing. It's crap that I didn't ask for. You say, well, we have to have the ads to pay for the this and the that. Okay, let's presume for the moment that that's true. Can they at least be something that I asked for? Something that I might potentially be interested in, and not something that you asked for, not something that you want to try and sell me. You want me to, you know, to click on it and to look at it so that I will be seduced by your wares. And they don't, by the way, they do not, if they're trying to seduce me, they're not, they're nowhere near the kind of commercials they need to be using. But anyway, see, now I'm getting out of breath. The Mountain Dew is pushing me into that air. But I do, I'll tell you what, I can tell you my back feels wonderful. And it's not about the Mountain Dew at all. That's just it's to add some time to recover. And I've been using my cheap-ass lumbar supports, rolled-up towel, mostly in my car, but in some other places too. And watching how I get up, how I sit down, how long I sit down. And it seems to be working. Really three excellent days in a row with my back. So we'll add that to my gratitude list. I still don't have my appointment scheduled with the physical therapy people who are supposed to be helping me get my back stretched out and improve my range of motion and all that. So this kind of stuff doesn't happen again. There's paperwork that has to go back and forth between my doctor and the physical therapy place that's just people having a hard time picking up and finding it. Now, all these are both university facilities. They're both supposed to be linked on this another wonderful, beautiful piece of technology, which is not giving us what we had hoped for. So that'll be a Monday task. Monday when I don't have to work until 4 o'clock after I get baked at that Puss in Boots. Funny thing, I was at my doctor because I finally did get to see my doctor, and it was to review my diabetes medicine, FDJ, which I'm going to need more of now. I've been drinking Mountain Dew. And the movie, I mean, they have the whole waiting room area is designed for kids with parents. I think that's predominantly what they have in the practice. That's they were watching Puss in Boots, the movie, the Antonio Banderas movie. Somehow I think that the plot is probably not going to be the same as the one that I'm going to see on Sunday. I think that the traditional, I'm expecting I'll be seeing the traditional Puss in Boots on Sunday, and that there were some, I think, some liberties taken in this newer version. But anyway, at least, I don't know, again, I don't know why this should even matter, because the one I was watching was certainly different from the one I'm going to be watching on Sunday. But I did find I was able to tolerate it. I was able to watch Puss in Boots and not flee into the hallway. That's not always been the case with the movies they've on there. They had some god-awful football movie on there that I had to abandon the waiting room to get away from the movie. There've been a couple of them. I have a bad time with sitting down watching a movie that I haven't picked, which my friends have noted from time to time. I've gone over to one of those awkward things where you go over to watch the movie, right? It's not just a party or generic gathering. You're going over to the house to watch a movie, and I don't really want to watch this movie. What do? I guess I'm the one who's just taking myself out of the loop now. What happened? We watched that movie where they were all they were all living in a village. They'd left modern life to go in a village so nobody would kill each other. But then people killed each other. And there was a blind girl, and she had to go and get medicine. And she was being stalked by one of the other. Yeah, see, I remember an awful lot about it for not having wanted to watch it. But it was, I don't know if I would ever look at it again. There's some other things. I remember one that I did enjoy was Hot Tub Time Machine, which I didn't think I would enjoy, but it did make an impression on me, I guess you put it that way. I don't have it anymore. Abandoned about 2/3 of my DVD collection when I had to abandon my apartment on Yale Avenue. So I don't have sort of many of the borderline titles. I would call them borderline things. Maybe someday I'll watch again, maybe, probably not. But maybe I'll find somebody who wants to buy it. You know, speaking of which, I got to sell my other phone. Now I'm really jumping around. It's late. I'm not dude up. It's late. I got to try and get to sleep because I got to work tomorrow. What is it? There's something else I want to do before I went to work tomorrow. I can't remember what it was now. I have my papers laying out and it's on the. I mean, that's just what it is. There was a bunch of mail waiting for me when I got home. I just looked at it very quickly. I should take a closer look at it, and then maybe see that something thing is going to get piled up now. So I want to go to church on Sunday, but then I'm going to put some boots in the evening, and anything else I have to do during the day has to fall between those two. You have to jam it in there somewhere and get it done that way. It's nice to have a day off every once in a while to be able to get some stuff done. And then I usually squander it. I had a couple of days off this last week. Actually, it was 2 weeks ago. Of course, I was recovering from my back at that point. I don't know. I haven't been holding the phone up to my ear, so I don't know if I've gotten the 30-second warning yet or a 90-second warning yet. It's probably getting close. It's close, like the touch of God. The 90-second warning comes. Blog Talk. I know it's coming any moment now. This has been a weird show, kind of reflecting the weirdness of the day. I remember there was something I put on the little blurb, but I don't remember. Something about technology. I think I touched on it, that technology being not as good or whatever it was. It's just a kind of a negative thing that I decided to say. I don't know why. I did say at one point that I wanted to try and make the show be less negative than it had been in the past. And I don't know that I've succeeded in that very well. It just gets tough when we get down to the last moments, down to the last moments of the show, trying to think of something interesting to say, but not something so interesting that you're going to be in the middle of it and not be able to finish it when the show finally does go off the air. So you're just kind of vamping. You're just kind of tap dancing. There we go. 90 seconds. The Blog Talk Lady. I wish you could hear the dulcet tones of the Blog Talk Lady who comes across and tells me there are 90 seconds left in the show. 90 seconds? Oh, thank you. You have released me. You are my goddess. And she'll be back on here and tell me there's 60 seconds left. And I'd love to. I got to figure out. I got to engage my brain and figure out how I can get to a place where I could access the internet so I can use all those great sound cuts that Chief Iggy made for me. I've just been playing it lazy and just being here at the house, which means I just talk and that's all you get to hear. So anyway, thank you for joining me for this half an hour of strangeness. And I hope you'll want to come back for another half an hour of strangeness next week. Thank you once again and have a pleasant good evening.